Have anyone here ever heard of Ed Faubert? No one's heard of him. No one's heard of Ed Faubert. Well, to be honest with you, I never did till this week. Ed Faubert is what you would call a cupper. Does anybody know what a cupper is? Dane, you do. What's a cupper? Yeah, like a cup bearer. Like a cup bearer, like Nehemiah was to the king. Very good. But in layman's terms, a cupper is a coffee taster. So you're right on. And Ed Faubert, as a cupper, he was so gifted in him being able to taste coffee that his astute taste buds were actually certified by the state of New York. That they certified him because they were so good. So refined was his sense of taste for coffee that even while blindfolded, he could take one sip of coffee and he could tell you just not where, that it was from Guatemala, but he could also tell you from what state in Guatemala it came from. He could also tell you at what altitude it was grown and on what mountain just by tasting it. That's amazing. You say, but what difference does it make? Well, we may not know Ed Faubert, but how many here know Jim Fry? Jim Fry from our congregation. He, when he worked at Hershey Foods, won the Golden Tongue Award. And the Golden Tongue Award is the ability he got that award for being able to taste chocolate and be able to tell you how it was made and where the country the cocoa beans came from. Right, Gail? Quite a knowledge. Quite an ability. And knowledge is a great thing. And so we have another key to try this morning. And let's see who I'm going to have read it. I'm going to have Dave read it for me. We got a new key. Knowledge. The key of knowledge. And let's see if this one works. After all, we're told that knowledge is power, right? And people that have knowledge can go far in life. Ed Faubert, with that knowledge and being able to tell where coffee, knowledge can be a great thing. And it is very beneficial in our life. But so we'll try knowledge and put it in the door. Give it a pull. No. Unfortunately, knowledge didn't work either, but it's very beneficial in our life. It's something that is useful. And wisdom and knowledge, even though they cannot open the door to a meaningful life, and even though it doesn't bring us an abundant life and meaning, that still wisdom and knowledge is very beneficial to help us live as God intends. So in this section of Ecclesiastes, Solomon contrasts for us the difference between a life of wisdom and wise living and foolish behavior. And he said that there is a difference between the two, and he encourages us and says that we need to let wisdom be our guide. It may not open the door. It's not the key to a life of meaning, but yet if we let wisdom be our guide, it's going to benefit us. And it's going to help us in several ways. He shares three principles in this section on how we can do that in our life every day. So let's look at the Word of God this morning to discover the benefits of letting knowledge and wisdom guide us in our life. If we want to let wisdom be our guide, the first thing is we need to accept. Solomon says we need to accept godly wisdom. And accept that and make that the foundation upon which we build our life. He tells a story in chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. And he tells a story about a small town that was besieged by an enemy king who was much greater than him, who had a bigger army than he did, who was a lot more powerful, And he builds siege ramps around this small town, and he encloses it, and he's ready to take it over. And I imagine everybody in this town was panicking, thought they were about to be captured. But the city was saved because Solomon said that in that town was one man who was poor. People looked at him and didn't consider him very influential at all. And they would have passed over him and thought, surely there's nothing he can do against this great king. But Solomon said he was poor, but he had wisdom. And through his wisdom, he was able to lead the city, this town, against the king. And he brought victory and overcame. And Solomon says, through that, we need to learn to accept God's wisdom, because wisdom is better than strength. That wisdom, building our life on God's wisdom, is better than any kind of physical strength that we can have, or greatness, or what the world offers us. Our culture values youth and strength. And when we get older, and notice as we get older, we can't do what we used to do. Our bodies begin to decline. And we don't have the strength we used to have. But the older we get, our strength may deteriorate. But as we walk with God, we find out the longer we go through life, don't we gain wisdom? Our wisdom increases. Because with more in our experiences in life and more of what God does in us and what we learn, we gain more wisdom and knowledge through our experiences and relationship with God that we can pass on to those that are younger. Because wisdom is better than strength, Solomon says. He says in verse 16, he says, wisdom, I discovered that wisdom is better than strength. So accept godly wisdom and knowledge and use it to build our life upon. There is a story of a strong young man at a construction site. And he was working with his buddies on construction, and they were doing some construction work. And this young man was bragging, Jerome, about how he could outdo everybody in his feet of strength. And I'm sure you have some workers like that, don't you? Ashton, I can outdo everybody in their feet of strength. And he made a special case of making fun of one of the older workmen. And he said, I can easily outwork you by far. After several minutes, the older worker had had enough. He heard enough and said, okay, it's time for you to put your money where your mouth is. He said, I'll bet you a week's wages that I can haul something in a wheelbarrow that you can't. He said, I'll haul something in a wheelbarrow that you will not be able to wheel back. And the man said, you're on, old man. So the old man reached out and he grabbed the wheelbarrow by the handles. And he turned to the young man. He said, okay, get in. Got it? Wisdom outsmarted strength. And wisdom is greater than strength. And Solomon says, so accept God's wisdom, his truth, and build our life on what God teaches us in the Word as the foundation. Because it's stronger than strength. But Solomon also says the problem with wisdom is that it can often go unheeded. He said, as he told this story in chapter 9, he said that the poor but wise man gave the people the way to how to overcome this king. But notice what he said. He said, but nobody remembered him. They didn't heed him. Afterwards, the victory was won. They forgot all about him. They didn't heed him. They didn't pay him any attention or any mind after that. Even though he had given them wisdom that was beneficial to them, they didn't pay him any attention. Those of you that are parents or grandparents know that sometimes when you have wisdom to share with your children and you teach them, and sometimes you feel like they're not listening because kids think we know it all, right? Kids think, They know everything. They don't need to listen. But when God gives wisdom, he intends for us to listen. Because if we don't, we're going to suffer for it. There's benefits. But wisdom can often be unheeded. There's something about our sinful nature that we receive from Adam and Eve. That we just, when we are given wisdom and advice, we think we know better. Sometimes we unheed it. Remember the story, the childhood story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin? Remember that story? And there was a town of Hamelin that was overrun with rats. Remember that story? And everyone's trying to figure out, how can we get rid of all these rats out of this town? And nobody could figure it out. Well, they finally heard about this man who played a flute, and he played his flute, and all the rats followed him out of town. Remember that? And everybody was happy. The town was free of rats, and it was great. But they did not thank the guy who took care of that problem for them. After the rats were gone, they ignored him and said, we don't need him anymore. They didn't thank him or appreciate what he did. So you remember what he did? He came up with a way where he played a tune on his flute that made all the kids of the town attracted them. And he played his flute through the town, and all the kids of the town followed him. He led all the kids out of the town, and all the people lost their children. Remember that story? And that's what Solomon is saying in this one, is that wisdom is to our benefit. But often we don't want to heed what God tells us. We think we know better, and if we don't, we're going to suffer for it. It can often be unheeded. So the first step is accept godly wisdom. Accept what he tells us and build our life and fashion our life accordingly around it. But second is to avoid foolish behavior. If we want to let wisdom be our guide, we got to avoid foolish behavior. In chapter 10, as we go into chapter 10, he lists several proverbs contrasting the difference between wise living and foolish behavior, and says that we need to avoid foolish behavior and describe several of them that we should. Because in the midst of a passage of praising wisdom, Solomon warns us of the danger of foolish behavior. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, he uses the word fool 9 times in this chapter. And in Solomon's 3 books that he wrote, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, he uses the words fool, foolish, fools, or folly 128 times. So he wants us to know about being warned about avoiding foolish behavior. And how can we do that? Well, he tells us, and that is to avoid, if we want to avoid foolish behavior, we need to pay attention to the little things in our life. The little things that we think are insignificant, that don't really matter, that can end up becoming a major thing that can trip us up. He gives a proverb in chapter 10, verse 1. One that we read this and we say, Solomon, why would you write this? But God's Spirit led him, and he knew what he wanted to give us in the warning of the wisdom of God. He says, as dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly or foolishness outweighs wisdom and honor. This particular proverb is Solomon's vivid way of illustrating how a tiny bit of foolishness can destroy a powerful fragrance of a person's character. That we are to reflect and be the fragrance of Jesus. That we are to give out the aroma of Christ, but he says a tiny bit of fragrance of foolishness can destroy and ruin that fragrance and destroy and damage a person's dignity, reputation, and character. He said that it's like, it would be foolish If you went and got real expensive perfume, the most expensive that you could buy, and Solomon being a king and having all the wealth that he had at his disposal, he said it'd be foolish to get real expensive perfume and leave the top of the jar open so that the fragrance could attract flies and end up flies getting in it. Because if you had flies getting in your perfume, he said it would become worthless. You couldn't use it anymore. And he said that would be foolish. We wouldn't even think of doing something like that. It would be a waste. Or other ways that he said to waste something like that, it's a foolish thing. What's he trying to teach us is we need to pay attention to the little things and not to be a fly in the ointment. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Dan? Well, sometimes we can be a fly in the ointment. Have you ever heard that saying? It's because one person can affect a whole group in a negative way. When one person is negative, have you ever been around a group of people? Everybody else may be positive, but one person is negative. And that can affect everybody else in the group, can it? And that one person can become a fly in the ointment and affect everybody else. Are you a fly in the ointment? A negative character? I mean, a negative attitude sometimes? Or how we reflect to people? I said, that small thing can contaminate, can affect others as well. Are you a fly in the ointment in your home? And how you affect the lives of those around you? Or at your place of employment, or your school, or in church? I hope not. Because one person, in a negative way, can impact all of us. Jesus said, Paul said that as a small batch of dough, yeast, it can affect the whole loaf. Pay attention to the little things. Don't be a fly in the ointment, but also we need to spot the flies before they multiply. Because another way to apply this verse is these little things are little things in our character and our life that we let go on and say, it's just a small thing, it doesn't matter. After all, it's just a little white lie. It's just a little white lie. It doesn't matter. Or it's only one word that I said. I lost my temper once and I let a word fly that I shouldn't have said. But after all, it's just a small thing, right? It doesn't really matter to God. After all, I didn't kill anybody. Or it's just one little word of gossip. It's not much, but it's just one little thing. Or it's just one little glance that I had at a person. Maybe I shouldn't, but I didn't look a second time. It's just one little thing. But you know, when we let those little things go on in our life, they can become major. Remember David, the great king of God, who when he was should have been out to war with his army in the springtime, and it was just a little thing. He didn't go off the battle. It was just a small little thing. It didn't really matter. So he stayed home. So what? But he went up on top of the roof. And he saw his neighbor lady taking a bath, Bathsheba. And that small little thing ended up becoming a major flaw in his character. Solomon says, avoid foolish behavior. Pay attention to those little things, because a fly in the ointment, a fly can ruin the whole perfume. We need to swat the flies and eliminate them before they multiply in our life, before they become something major. And I don't know about you, but I hate flies buzzing around me, don't you? So we need to get out the fly swatter and swat those little things before they land and land in our perfume and spoil our fragrance for Jesus. So pay attention to the little things. He also says to avoid foolish behavior. We need to stay on the right path. He says in chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, he says, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense, and everything shows it by how stupid he is. So he said, our lifestyle, we can tell whether a wise person or a foolish person by the way we live. And he says, by the path that we walk And the pathway we choose is going to demonstrate wisdom or folly in our life. So it says, choose and stay on the right path. The path that he directs us through his word. The path that his word is that pathway for us. And by following and walking on that pathway, we will have live out God's wisdom. And we will demonstrate that. But he says the fool demonstrates how stupid he is by the way he lives. People can see it. Have you ever seen someone by the way they live? You're saying, you know, that's foolish behavior. And we can tell by the way someone lives, they're making foolish choices. And so he says, stay on the pathway that is right in his word. Third, if you want to avoid foolish behavior, Solomon says we need to keep your cool. We need to keep our cool and be Joe cool no matter what happens around us. No matter how upset we get, no matter how upset here, he says, with our employer, with those who have authority over us, that could be whether in Washington, or it could be where we work, or it could be our teacher, our parents, or anyone that has authority over us, but to keep our cool. In verse 4, he says, if a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post, for calmness can lay great errors to rest. He says, keep your cool. He's talking here about if your employer is getting you to the point you feel like you want to quit. Where you feel like Johnny Paycheck and you say, take this job and shove it. And you're ready to walk away and say, I don't need this anymore. I don't need this hassle. Have you ever been there where someone's done that and said, this is it. I've had it. Sometimes we feel that way maybe with our spouses. Sometimes we feel that way with friends. But I've had it. I'm done. I'm walking away from here. I've had it. But Solomon says, that's foolish. He says, stay at your post. In other words, keep your calm. Keep your composure, stay committed, just ride it out, stay calm, it will pass. So keep your cool and stay calm, he says. What he says in verse 4, if your rises against you, your anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can cause lay great errors to rest. So just stay calm. Don't let it rattle you. Say, God, give me the grace I need. Help me to show grace to that person that really is getting under my skin and really irritating me. And boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? But say, God, help me to have that grace to stay calm and to stay committed, to stay at the post. Because sometimes we think the grass is greener on the other side. I've had it with this job. I'm going to look for another one. Or I've had it with my spouse, I'm going to leave. Or I've had it with this situation I'm in, I just can't deal with it anymore. And we think it's always greener somewhere else. But Solomon says, that's foolish. That kind of behavior is foolish thinking. Just stay right at your post. Just stay committed. See it through. Keep your calm. Keep your cool. Because God's going to be with you and give you the strength in it. And he'll give us what we need. So don't lose your composure. And also to avoid foolish behavior, he says, serve where you're gifted. Serve in the areas in which we're gifted to. Look at verses 5 through 7 of chapter 10. He said, there is an evil that I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. For fools are put in many high positions, while the rich accompany the low ones. And I've seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. And as I studied this passage a little more in depth, what God was saying there, it became a little more clear to me when I read it in the complete Jewish Bible. Because that helps to explain, sometimes a little bit clearer translation, what Solomon was saying. And here he says, another evil I have seen under the sun, the kind of mistake that rulers make, is that fools are promoted to high positions while rich accompany humble places And I've seen servants riding horses while princes walk on foot like slaves. What's the principle? Is sometimes people in leadership or ask us to do a job or put in people or put in positions of places to serve where they're not really gifted to do. And you know, oftentimes that can happen in the church, I've discovered. It's because we need a job, we need someone to do something and to serve. We say, we need someone to serve in the nursery. Or we need someone to be a Sunday school teacher or this position. And anybody that's willing to do it will say, okay. But then that person starts to serve there and they don't feel like they're effective. And it's because if we serve in a place we're not gifted to be, we get frustrated and we're not as effective. And so Solomon says, serve where you're gifted. Find out where God's given you the ability and what gifts he's blessed you with, and then use them for him and serve him effectively there. But don't do a job that you're not comfortable with. And don't feel bad saying no. Sometimes we feel we can't say no if someone asks to do something. But if you're not gifted for it, we're not effective there, right? So feel free to say no if you're in an area where you don't feel you're comfortable. But serve where you're gifted to be. Solomon said, I've noticed that before. And he said, you know, that's foolishness. He said, we can't be effective if we're not serving in an area that we're not gifted to be in. So avoid foolish behavior, accept godly wisdom. And the third way to let wisdom be your guide is to apply wisdom to your daily life. Is to take God's wisdom, the wisdom of his word, and apply it and live it out in our life every day. Because it doesn't do any good, dear friends. It doesn't do us any good spiritually if we can come to church week after week, study his word, hear a sermon, go home and say, but it didn't really apply to, doesn't apply to me. If we don't apply to our life and take his word and let it get down in us and apply to our daily living, it's not going to change us from within. And so Solomon says, in order to walk in wisdom as our guide, we need to apply his wisdom. Verses 8 through 20 talks about how to do that. And how we apply wisdom to our life is we need to think before we act. That's applying God's wisdom to our life, is before we decide to do something, before we take an action, he says, think about it. Pause a minute. Don't just be reactionary. And sometimes we can react before we think about it. Someone ticks us off. And before we think about it, we just let the words fly, don't we, sometimes? And if we think. Or for me, the hard one is when I'm in the car and that person in front of me has gone so slow and I speak. And again, Kim had to remind me this week when we were somewhere, practice what you preach. Ouch. Because sometimes we act before we think. And Solomon says, think first. Think about the consequences that could occur. Look at verses 8 and 9. He says, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. So he said, our actions that we take is going to have and can have a consequence or a reaction, an effect. So it says, before you take an action, think about what could occur. Think about the consequences to your life spiritually. If I choose this course of action, what's going to happen in my life spiritually? Or if I choose this one, how's it going to benefit me? That's how we apply God's wisdom to our life. Think first before we act, before we proceed. Stop and pray, seek the direction of his word, and say, Lord, what's the consequences to the best of my knowledge that could occur down this way? Think about the consequences that could occur, and think about the tools that you need. In verse 10, he says, if the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Solomon says, imagine if you're trying to chop wood and you're chopping wood or trying to do a job and the axe is dull and you're chopping away and chopping away and chopping away, and the axe is dull and you're not getting anywhere. It's because the tool is inadequate. If you're trying to do a job and don't have the right tools, it's not very effective. Now, for me, my tools are very limited when it comes to trying to do a job. But if you have the right tools, right, Gary? Because you told me that. If you have the right tools, the job's easy. And the tools that we need for our spiritual life is the Word of God, prayer, worship. And realize the tools that we need that God has given us. And He's given us those tools so that our life can be effective, so that we can apply His Word with skill, so that we can live out His Word every day and how He wants us to make and the decisions we make in life. But you got to realize the tools that you need and use the proper tool so that we can grow effectively for Him. If we don't, and you chop away at an axe that's dull, you're not going to get anywhere. Right, Bill? It's going to be more and more difficult. We also apply wisdom to life by putting it to work. Put God's wisdom to work. He says, use it. Don't just store it on the shelf. Don't just read the Word and close it and go home. Don't just listen to a sermon and leave and say, that was nice. But put it to work. Apply God's wisdom to our life and what He's telling us. If you struggle with unforgiveness, then study His Word on how to become more forgiving. If you struggle with what you say, ask God's Spirit to help you control your tongue. But put it to work. In verse 10, He says, if a snake bites before it's charmed, then there's no profit for the charmer. And here He uses the story of a snake charmer. And you all seen pictures on TV of these snake charmers who they put on the funny little hat and they play the flute, and this cobra comes out of the basket and they play the music, and the snake is kind of entranced by the music, and just kind of the snake charmer has that cobra under its control so it doesn't strike. You ever seen those pictures? That's what Solomon's talking about here. But he said if the snake bites before it's charmed, it didn't benefit the charmer at all. And the charmer had the ability, and he knew how to use it. He had the ability to know how to make the snake under its control. But if he didn't use that knowledge effectively, it wasn't going to work. And so Solomon applies that to our life. He said, it's the same thing. God's given us the knowledge of His Word. And He says, use what you've been given. We don't have to sometimes look for more. Whatever you've received from God, whatever you know of His knowledge, He says, use that. He's already given you enough to show you how to overcome your temper. He's already given you enough to show you how to be forgiven. He's already given you enough to learn to show you how to trust Him in the midst of adversity. So use what you have, He said, and that's how we apply it, putting it to work. And faith, James says, faith without works is dead. It's useless. It doesn't do us any good. So apply what you've heard. Apply what you learn to your daily life. Use what you have and don't be lazy. In verse 18, he says, if a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If his hands are idle, the house leaks. And here the picture is a man is sitting at home watching TV while his house, and it's raining outside, and the roof was leaking. There's rain coming down through all the house, and he's sitting there, and the roof is sagging, and he doesn't do anything about it. He just continues to sit on the sofa. Now, is that wise? Solomon says that's laziness. And he said, guy, what he needs to do is get to work, fix the roof, do what he needs to do to fix the roof. And he applies that same thing to our spiritual life, is don't be lazy, don't be a flabby Christian. But we need to study to show ourselves approved by God, to take the incentive of the daily getting into His Word and spending that time in prayer and with Him and investing in our spiritual life so that we have the strength and putting His Word to work every day in our life. Not being content to come to church on Sunday morning and put my 1 hour in saying, oh, I got the Word for an hour. That's all I need of the Word for the week. That's spiritual laziness, and that's not going to sustain us. It's not going to give us the strength we need. So he says, don't be lazy. Don't just sit, but apply your word. Study to show ourself approved. Put it to work. And the last way we apply to our life is to think before you speak. He says here in verses 12 through 14, he says, words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. At the beginning of his words are folly, and at the end they are wicked madness. And the fool multiplies words. And going down to verse 20, he says, don't revile the king even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because the bird of the air can carry your words, and the bird on a wing may report what you say. Here we see another biblical grounds for a saying that we've all heard many times, a little birdie told me. And Solomon says, be careful what you say. Because he said, what we say has a way of somehow coming around and coming back. And we may say it in secret. We may talk about somebody behind their back secretly, Solomon's saying. But he said, it has a way of somehow coming back around and coming back out and be known. And we have that saying, well, how'd you find out? We say, a little birdie told me. That's what Solomon's saying here. He said, don't utter words about somebody else, even in the privacy of your own home. Because he's saying, a bird can carry that on wing to somebody else. That is a way of coming back out. So speak before you think. No, think before you speak. See? I'm making sure you're listening to me. You're with me. Making sure. Think before you speak, because that's how we apply it to our life. Very good, you're with me. So, God's wisdom and walking in it. So, wisdom and knowledge can open the door, but it can make our life more beneficial as we live for Christ, as we seek to follow Him. Let wisdom be our guide. Accept what He has to say. It's His wisdom for guidance. Avoid foolish behavior and apply His wisdom to our daily life as we seek to follow Him each day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the wisdom of Your word and for Solomon's practical teaching and advice on how to live our life and how to avoid foolish behavior that can damage our spiritual life and our walk with You and our reputation. When we let those little things, those flies, land in our spiritual life and we don't swat them away, we just let them sit there. And we think it's just a small thing. It's not going to matter. It's not going to make any difference. But little things left unchecked become major. And they become a major flaw in our character that can damage us and destroy and hurt our life and walk with You. So Lord, may we not be a fly in the ointment, a person of negativity that affects other people in a negative way. But Lord, may Your love and grace be seen in us. Help us, Lord, to put to work Your wisdom in our life. To apply what You teach us, what we read in Your word and what You tell us, and to apply it and put it into practice in our life and live it out. That we may walk in Your wisdom, living wisely for You. And Father, thank You for Your word that gives us that guidance, which is the pathway for us to follow. That when we stay on that right path, we are walking in wisdom, and it pleases You. So Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing and acceptable to You, our Father, our Savior, and our Lord. And in the name of Your Son, our Savior, we ask this prayer. Amen.